When I passed After Dark, I wrote one of my editorials about that wonderful Twilight Zone episode that I just enjoyed thoroughly called I Sing the Body Electric. Well, that was written by our very own Ray Bradbury, genius that he is. And Ray loved it so much, he sent me a letter. Anyway, next week, first hour, don't have the day yet, Ray Bradbury will be our guest here on Coast to Coast. John, the prophecies of St. Malachi. Do we know the time limit of the popes, this one that will be named and the second one thereafter? How long will they reign?
Well, logic would dictate that if you look at the current grouping of potential men for this to be successors, they're all in their late 70s. If they're early 70s, they're considered too young. And if that is a way to gauge what's coming, then what we're seeing here is a repeat of what happened in the late 50s. We're seeing after a very significant and relatively long-lasting pope.
27 years for this one.
Yeah, but that's unusual. That's very unusual. But it's also perhaps an aspect of our modern times that people live much longer. I'm sure the average life expectancy of most popes throughout the 250-plus men who have been the pope, it's been 10 years.
Well, of course, he was in his late 50s when he was named pope.
But, you know, the longest living beyond St. Peter himself, who was supposed to have been 35, 36 years in ministry, the longest lived pope was in the 19th century, was Pius the Ninth, who was 36 years. And he was followed by a very sickly man who he thought would be a transitional pope, and he lasted 25, Pope Leo the Tenth. So, and died at 94. So it's possible that the intention is to get a pope that will be experienced enough to help bridge this amazing 26-year reign of John Paul II. I think it's quite apt that some cardinals are already starting to call him John Paul the Great.
Yes, that's true.
And I think that's appropriate. Whether one agrees or disagrees with what he did, one could agree and disagree with Gregory the Great, Gregory the Fifth. But he certainly has had a significant change. And what's also he has done is that any pope that is going to come now will have to be media savvy, will have to speak more than one language, will have to be a true international diplomat, and also be very approachable to the people. Gone are the days, I believe, where you will have Pius the Twelfth who rarely even touched another human being, who ate alone. It was very much a hermit pope, unless it was absolutely necessary for him to come out, which is the way most popes had been with the public. But John Paul I actually began this momentum, being the smiling pope, the one who lasted so short a time, and he's followed by John Paul II, who continued to be a very approachable human contacting pope. Now, from my contacts involved in the Vatican, there's really a struggle between those who would like to see more independence with the diocese and those who want to continue a more triumphalist, old-fashioned form of overseeing the church from above. And I think that struggle is going to come out in the conclave. That should take place around, I imagine, the 16th or 17th of this month.
Well, and you know, they have changed some of the rules for selecting a pope, where if they don't have, they used to have a two-thirds vote. Now it's a simple majority if they can't come to terms, but they have to wait 12 days before they do that. So a lot of people, I would guess, if you don't get that two-thirds on the first couple go-rounds, the majority folks will just simply sit back, wait the 12 days, and then get the pope they want.
It's very hard to hold on to a majority in that kind of situation, but yes, that would be the strategy. I also must add, as I delineated in the last pope, looking at the last 1,000 years of papal succession, it is often happened that a pope who had a very clear agenda, a very clear direction he wanted to take the church, who spent most of his reign picking the people who would pick his successor, more than 50% of the time, the successor is the opposite to the intentions of the pope who
True.
Picked the people. It's a little bit like what happens here in America when the Congress chooses, or the President of the Congress chooses a Supreme Court judge. And once they're in the Supreme Court, they tend to be quite independent of whoever political persuasion. And in the case of theological persuasion, this often happens in the history of the popes and the conclaves. So even though some people would say it's a long shot now, a cardinal like Cardinal Martini, who used to be the Archbishop of Milan, who's now residing in Jerusalem, writing books and studying in Jerusalem, is still a potential candidate as much as the current Archbishop of Milan, which is Teta Masni. It's interesting to note that certain key people, more than often an Archbishop of Venice or an Archbishop of Milan is positioned as someone who's in the majority bloc that wants to have him as a pope. Consider Cardinal Montini, who during John the 23rd's reign was the Archbishop of Milan, and it was very clear that he was to succeed John the 23rd. And so, you know, I think we're seeing a repetition here. You have this huge reign, a very significant pope, a transition is in place. I think it's also highly likely that Cardinal Ratzinger could also be made pope for a transitional. And to get back to your question about duration, because of the age of the popes that are here, it's highly unlikely, logically speaking, that they're going to last as long as John.
No, I agree that.
And I've been saying in the last pope, I thought that the next pope would be chosen actually 4 years from now. I said that 7 years ago, and I still kind of feel like I would not at all be surprised if we saw a repetition of what happened with John the 23rd. We have a 4 or 5 years, and then we have a new pope.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go pick it up by going west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
How are you doing this evening, George?
Good, thank you.
I'm somewhat shocked at you tonight. You seem to have been somewhat lenient and compassionate with Wingate. He just outright lied tonight in regards. I was listening when he was speaking the other night in terms of the Pope was not dead, and he kept saying that he was the recipient of this information from the angels and from heaven. And tonight he kept saying it was they that had given him the information. And I remember the time when you were dealing with the people that was not honest with you in regards to Lucia, the last of the Fatima prophets, is that, you know, you basically cut him off the air. I thought you were a little too lenient with him tonight. In regards to your guest...
Well, let me quickly answer that and then let you go to your question with
Joan
Hogue.
Sure,
I'm not about to chastise a priest. He was wrong. His prophecy was wrong. He knows it. You know it. And the whole world knows it. Go ahead.
Okay. And listen, I'm a practicing Catholic, too. In regards to your guest here, he's extremely intelligent. Being a world event psychic, Ratzinger is the one that's going to become the next pope. Also, I would like to ask your guest, Pope Paul II worshipped the Black Madonna, therefore he worshipped the Black Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. I would like for him to discuss that, and two, in regards to Nostradamus' quatrains, they were changed and manipulated in Europe to say that Russia and the United States was going to fight against China. However, Wingate is correct. Russia and China will initiate war against the United States and invade the United States, and those areas are Florida, Minnesota, and Alaska. And I would like your guests to comment on that. And my name is Suleiman from Vancouver, and I'm waiting to get on your show there, George.
Well, if your predictions are right, you just might do it.
All right. Listen, George.
A number of things to cover, I couldn't keep my note writing fast enough. But the first off, the Nostradamus predictions have not been changed. There have been copies of the original manuscripts and the original printed publications since they came out. So I know there's been a lot of attempts of late to try to pretend like and create with CGI capabilities on internet some things that were not there, but that's one thing. Second thing is there are many prophetic traditions that look at the possibility of a Sino-Russian alliance against America. So although that may be a prophecy, and certainly it is not a lonely prophecy, there are a whole crowd of seers for 100 years that have been seeing that possibility. That doesn't deny that is a good prophecy. Secondly, Most of the predictions that talk about a future Sino-Russian war see the targeted areas being on the West Coast, not in Florida, in those areas. But that's for a whole other show. The thing about the Black Virgin, for John Paul II, he does worship the Black Virgin. He is a Marian Pope. There was even some consideration for some discussion about whether Mary would be made equal to Jesus as a co-redemptrix, mediatrix, but that didn't happen. Probably too extreme a thing to happen. I don't see in the show what the relationship is with the Black Virgin according to the future.
Okay,
of
well,
Pope.
Let's move on then because we've got a lot of questions.
I want to say something that is before it gets lost. It's very, very interesting about what has happened. Pope John Paul II is called in Malachi's prophecies "De laboris solis," which means the labor or the eclipse of the sun. Of the 111 popes in these prophecies, he is the only one who was born on an eclipse of the sun, a total eclipse of the sun.
And he's going to be buried.
Yes, which is most amazing.
Isn't that strange? Yes.
It is most amazing because I'm thinking, what is the Vatican saying by doing this? Because certainly there are a lot of people who know about the prophecies of St. Malachi. I think it's in the Apostolic Church or Apostolic Palaces, there are ovals that they're very famous that show the images of all the popes that have existed since St. Peter. And there's only two ovals left. There's only room for two more ovals to be filled with a portrait of future popes. Isn't it interesting that we're to the last two in St. Malachi's list,
sure,
and they're to the last two in this. So I'm thinking, what are certain elements in the Vatican trying to say to us? When there are many days they could have picked, Thursday or Saturday, why do they make a point to pick the day to intern him? In fact, in Italian time, when the eclipse starts, it'll be 11:32 p.m. Italian time.
It will darken over the Vatican.
Well, it won't. It's in the South Pacific, but the point that's very dramatic in this is that he will have been entombed by then, sealed in the tomb by then, probably around that time when the eclipse begins. The man who was born under eclipse dies and is interned under
eclipse. It is remarkable.
It is quite a remarkable prophetic success. Then the question has to be, what then did Malachi intend for the eclipse? Is he saying that this is the beginning of the tribulation of the papacy that is so often in Catholic apocalyptic prophecies, that the next popes are in trouble, or is this an eclipse of the church, or is this, in the other medieval sense of the poetic Latin, a death and rebirth for the church through John Paul II's reign? These are the questions we all need to ask and consider.
Wild card line, and we may have to just watch it all unfold, John. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I had a question. Because the next two popes will have such a media outlet, and they'll be able to get to a lot of people, do you think there's any way that one of the next two popes could be one of the Antichrists?
Well, it is discussed a lot. Also, one has to ask what one man's Antichrist is another man's reformer. I mean, some people thought that John the 23rd in Vatican II was a kind of false pope. Other people thought he was getting the papacy back on track with history and with the evolution of the church and Christ's vision of the world. It becomes theologically political who is a Antichrist and who is actually a reformer. It could very well be that beyond the name-calling, we may see in the one or the last two popes be revolutionary popes, even more so than St. Malachi intended for John Paul II. Or it could mean that one of them are false. But then it also could mean that if the final pope is elected and we live to see the next two in succession live out their days and be replaced by a third pope, it may very well be that the list ends with the last true pope, and then the popes that follow are questionable. That's another possibility to consider.
Okay, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on with John Hoag. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Leif calling from Donaldson. there's a lot of talk about there being a black pope this time. And I was wondering, you know, the prophecy says that the black pope is another name for the false pope. So maybe John Paul II is the last pope.
Well, that's an interesting point because there's a couple meanings for black pope. A black pope could literally mean a man from Africa, like Cardinal Lorenzo. I highly doubt it. That it will happen. I think that's unlikely. However, there's another phrase for black pope, and that is usually the head of the Jesuit order. And I find it intriguing that the talk is up about that because Carlo Martini, the cardinal, former cardinal bishop of Milan, Archbishop of Milan, is a Jesuit. And it's actually considered one of the big impediments to him becoming a pope. Certainly, he's been called Cardinal Suave. That was his nickname because he speaks eight languages. He's a consummate canon law specialist. However, he is far more liberal than John Paul II. However, as people have been bandying about in the last few days, the next pope is going to have to deal with the many things that John Paul II wouldn't or couldn't deal with: the breakdown, the lack of priests, the pressure to have priests marry and women be priests, and all these issues, birth control, all these issues, for better or worse, are going to bedevil the next pope. And I sometimes wonder if the cardinals who are getting ready to pray and vote for the next pope aren't struggling with this issue of, can we stay rigidly a certain way, or do we have to adapt to these changes? Because it is also a fact that the Catholic Church has existed, the papacy has existed for 2,000 years because it has adapted its dogmas to the times. And so that then makes it a big surprise, a potential surprise, that somebody like a black pope, a Jesuit, would be the next pope. Now, if he is more liberal and more progressive than John Paul II, I imagine many conservatives would consider him the false pope.
Well, John Hogue, we're going to have to get you back as soon as they name a pope and get your take on all of this as it unfolds, or at least for you to do a little analysis for us on whoever it may be, okay?
Yes,
I'd love
to.
John Hogue, his website, hogueprophecy.com, and it's linked up right now.